Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of The Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Harry McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, in our 8 o'clock hour, it is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. That's right. You can call us about Which One Wednesday and how I was just robbed.
I was going to say, I think Dylan's going to need Morgan & Morgan and possibly Mark Spain.
Please.
And I guess for his ears, maybe zero risk.
Need someone to have my back.
Yeah.
Or you can weigh in on what you think the Falcons need to do to beat the Eagles in Monday Night Football this week. Lay out your game plan, but keep it short. So call us at 404-726-0929. What do you want?
I just have two quick wake-up calls. Two very quick ones. Number one, if you think my decision was wrong, you might need to wake up. And then two,
lame.
I have to give – this wake-up call is not a criticism, but a shout-out. Shout-out to Tiffany's amazing friend Denzel, because if you remember, a few weeks back, myself, Ali Mack, and Mike were hosting, and we got into the topic of me only having one television.
Yeah, which is crazy.
In my apartment. Denzel was kind enough to actually gift me a television that, that he had in his storage.
He did. Yeah. He hit me up.
Denzel gave this man a TV?
Denzel sure did.
Denzel hit me up and said, hey.
Play the clap track. Play the clap.
So we will applaud my boy.
That's pretty awesome.
My boy Denzel.
Yeah. Shout out.
Big
shout out
to Denzel. Hooked you up. And just to be clear, it wasn't the fact you have one television. It's the fact that you unplugged that TV from your living room and you take it into your bedroom
into
at night.
Room.
That
yeah.
was the concerning
well,
part.
Well, that's just life.
I think Denzel did a great deed, and I appreciate him being nice to you. However, Denzel, this man just went to Brazil, and he's about to go to Philadelphia over the weekend.
Hey, no,
so
don't go there.
I don't
he
think
had
he
an
is,
extra.
He's
it was
not
a
needy.
Need.
He had a spare.
You should have kept that TV, Denzel.
I thought you were going to say, Denzel, I need a TV, too.
Right. I'm glad it worked out.
I could
connect
need an
you
extra
to,
one.
Glad that you also still handed me an L. But whatever.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I wasn't trying to buy the win.
I didn't want, me feeling good about you helping me set that up with Denzel to interfere
so that's
with
why
it was reactionary.
So that's
no,
why, you know
no,
what?
No. I was completely objective and I kept the
Wait,
I
you
kept
know
what?
What
happened in here in here.
Not, you know what? We're just gonna
I
go
didn't bring
to
the outside world into
you can't
it.
Dig yourself out of this hole. All right, let's say good morning to Chase and Jefferson. What's happening?
What up, Chase?
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, so don't want to be a negative Nancy. So overall on the Falcons, and sorry if I'm beating a dead horse, I didn't get a chance to listen in or call in yesterday, but just while it's fresh on my mind, I think what the Falcons fans, or at least speaking for myself more specifically, are tired of is, we're tired of getting sold a bill of goods. We're a quarterback away. So in the free agency, we've done well. I love what they've done on the defensive side of the ball, but all offseason we heard, man, we've got the highest rated offensive line in football, man. Drake London, he's never had somebody thrown him the ball. And, but Kyle Pitts is a unicorn. And just, so I think we've really struggled in the draft to get our draft picks to hit, because maybe I'm alone on this. I don't really get the A.J. Terrell hype. I mean, the guy gets burnt. He has a lot of pass interference calls. He had zero interceptions last year. He got truck-sticked like a child by Najee Harris on Sunday. Outside of Bijan Robinson, man, I really don't. And Kyle Pitts, I've said it since we drafted him. I didn't like it when we took him at four. He's got effort problems. I mean, it's plain as day. People who don't know anything about football, people who are very knowledgeable of the game of football. If you watch Kyle Pitts, he's not running full speed. He's not laying it all on the line. I mean, he's not worth a first-round pick, not even in the conversation of a top-10 pick. So, and then Drake London. Drake London is a great 50-50 ball guy, but in my humble opinion, he's having to catch all these 50-50 balls because he can't create separation.
All right, I've heard enough.
We love you. Chase, we love you. I thought you started this by saying you didn't want to be a negative Nancy.
That was a
checklist of negative Nancy's.
How are you going to criticize Drake London for what he hasn't done when it's been acknowledged that he hasn't had a quarterback for 2 years here, and this is his first year? A.J. Terrell does not have a plethora of pass interference calls. In fact, why don't you do this, Chase? You find me one defensive back in the NFL that doesn't get burned, that hasn't never been burned. And I'm going to tell you something. The guy who's considered the best in the league right now is Sauce Gardner. Probably could get a holding call on every time he goes down the field. I don't.
Yeah, I won't take the AJ Terrell slander yet.
Well, I won't.
And here's the other thing. He got truck sticked by Najee. He thought Najee was going out of bounds, and Najee decided to, you know, get that one last step in and truck him, because if AJ Terrell lowers the boom, he's going to get a late hit. So I don't like that either. But you can talk about Kyle Pitts if you want to. I think that story hasn't been written just yet.
Najee Harris also has 50 freaking pounds on AJ Terrell.
Exactly. And Chase, I had high hopes for that call. And we love you, man. But that you
disappointing.
That was negative.
Let's keep it. We're gonna keep it moving fast so we can try to get to all of you. And let's go to Chief. Good morning, Chief.
What's happening, Chief? That's right. Good morning, Blackman, and all American. And good morning to the champion and still champion of all champions.
It's unbelievable.
Leader of the nation.
It really is unbelievable.
Let's keep it moving here. Let's keep it moving here, Chief.
Chief, that's not right. You know, sometimes you got to take a loss like the way it is. I mean, beat you down.
That's Chief, right, Chief.
I'm with Dylan.
Trying to keep it tight so we can get these other folks in.
Anyway, Chief, let me get to yesterday. I didn't get a chance to call in and weigh in on the whole Jay-Z thing. And me being a hip-hop connoisseur of the Tribal Chief Nation, Jay-Z, the whole thing, the history with the guys, and the quick thing is that he doesn't like Lil Wayne. So Wayne, he actually should be doing this whole Super Bowl thing. I love Kendrick. And everybody know who listened to the station early in the morning, listen to Grill and Dylan, they know I love myself some Kendrick Lamar. But at the same time, Jay-Z, stop being so personal. Everything personal with him and Beyonce. And I'm telling you guys, it's all personal, because Lil Wayne deserves to have this whole show to himself.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Oh, thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Chief.
You know what?
Dylan, you want to weigh in there?
Hold on. There's an article out there about this. I think there's multiple articles out there about this. About Kendrick Lamar's influence, the Jay-Z influence on NFL owners.
Yeah, there is a huge influence there. Now, I will say this. As of recently, everything we've seen interaction-wise between Jay-Z and Lil Wayne has been positive. I mean, they've been seen together in a studio just, I think, 2-3 days ago, and they were hugging. And so I don't think there is currently beef there. Now, they did have a long-lasting beef some years ago. Did that play into it? Maybe. But me personally, I don't think that
pop culture.
I think they're over that, and I don't think that weighed in. I honestly think Kendrick Lamar's momentum with the beef with Drake and everything, I think that played into it more. And Lil Wayne is a little age, I think, a little plays into it.
All right, we're going back. Tiff
is not here for your explanation
now. It's not that I'm not here for anything, Dylan, but I'm just trying to keep it moving today.
Yeah, Dylan.
And if Dylan opens his mouth, it makes me want to go back to the lines faster.
Oh,
good morning to Tinker in Kennesaw.
Good morning, man.
What's up, Tank?
Hit that Squid News show.
That's right, baby. Boy, we dominated.
They don't have a
flame,
going off yesterday morning. but my wake up call is to all the brides to be coming up these next handful of months. Shame on you for having a wedding date during football season. And when you're coming down the aisle, everybody looking down, they're watching the game. They're not watching you. Oh, and then
Do you have a wedding coming up this fall?
No, Tink, don't go.
I don't know. I'm at the age now where you're in that in-between. Yeah. But I always hear about it, and I have been part of them.
In between the first and second one?
As that bride's coming down, and you see your groomsman, and his hands are all nervous. He's not nervous that you're coming down and about to do the vows. He's got an earbud in his right ear, and the score just changed.
Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Classic thing.
In between the divorce being finalized and the next one going to the courthouse is where it is.
No fall weddings. Okay, let's go to Bo in Southwest Atlanta. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. And shout out Squid Nation.
Oh, my God.
Just roll with the squid.
Love it, Bo. Great name, by the way.
Hey, thank you, everyone. Yeah, let's see what you think after I say, though. So I have to ride with Tiff on the overall record versus division record in football, though.
Thank you.
Because, you know, it's great, but, you know, for instance, like, to keep it simple, if you went undefeated in your division, 6-0, but yet you lost every division game and you're 6-11, you're not going. So you can be really winless in your division at 11 11-6, say for instance, 11 non-division, 6 the division, you're going to go to the playoffs. So overall record is just as important, if not more. The division records for tiebreakers. Wouldn't you say that, Bo? Yep.
No, you're absolutely right. The reality, though, is I think you're going to be in a dogfight for this division. And I think the conference wins, which the Chiefs wouldn't give you, and division wins could come down to being a tiebreaker. But you're absolutely right. You can win every division game and lose all the rest, and you ain't going nowhere.
I will say this. The question was, what would give you more confidence moving forward? And I have to kind of agree with Tiff that if they beat the Chiefs and the Eagles, I think I'd have more confidence in what the Atlanta Falcons were doing moving forward. I mean, maybe more confidence to win the division if you beat the other two, but when you talk about Eagles and Chiefs, I think I'd have more confidence moving forward. So I will say that. But, yeah, this is a good call.
All right, we appreciate all the wake-up calls this morning, and also today is a day that we remember the 9/11 attack, so it's been 23 years, which is...
Hard to imagine it's been that long.
Do you guys remember exactly where you were, I'm assuming? I was
exactly
in,
where I was.
In, I think first period in high school as a freshman.
I was a sophomore in gym, and yeah.
Yeah, so, I was in college, and I remember waking up on the couch that morning and hearing the news. I was at my parents' house, and I was just I had blown away at what was going on. It's just crazy.
Disbelief, really.
We had the tube TVs out in our hallways in high school, and we were all kind of changing classes. And I remember thinking somebody was playing a movie. I remember looking up thinking somebody was playing a movie, and then you realize it was actually what was going on.
Yeah, we had the two monitors in the gym, and yeah. I was sitting on the floor looking up and just could not believe what we were all seeing.
Did they, for those of you in high school, because it was like my off day of college, but did they, because, I didn't go every day, did they let y'all watch it the rest of the day, the coverage, or?
We watched it for, I think, the next two classes, because I remember watching live as the second one went down, and then I don't think we watched it pretty much the rest of the day because it was just so shocking. Like, it had all kind of happened, and there was still more fallout. You caught a little bit, like I said, out in the hallways the rest of the day, but just a couple of periods, I think, for us.
Yeah, certainly a day, obviously, that none of us will ever forget. So we just wanted to at least pay our respects, and I know we're in the time frame of when the attacks began, and so we're thinking of everyone that was affected today and continues to be. We'll be right back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of The Morning Shift. The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back here on The Morning Shift, and we are in the process of turning the page from last week's loss to the Steelers.
Some of us are.
Some people are here. Me, I've already moved on.
You talking about Garrett? Who are you talking about? Me?
Just want to throw Dylan under the bus just because?
I am in the process.
Hey, Dylan, are you going to cheer for the Eagles next week?
Ooh.
Wow. You went that route, Tiffany?
Oh, he's going, Tiffany.
You went that route? You went that route?
Are you?
Yes, I am going to the game, Simone and I. And I will be cheering for it, the Falcons, because I am a Falcons fan.
Okay.
Despite how many false narratives get started on this show by some people.
Can I give you some advice?
Interesting.
Please. Give me some advice.
You should go, and if you're not going to cheer for the Eagles, your team, and wear your Eagles gear, you should just be neutral and not say a word.
I don't.
How about this?
One, you're right. The second part of your point was right. Two, I don't have Eagles gear. I borrowed a hoodie from Simone because I was being a supportive boyfriend and I lost a bet.
This is going to be on Fair Foul Friday. Fair Foul, Simone is making Dylan a shirt that says, "Go Birds." You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
He just, like, that's 100% fair. Right, it's just gonna say go Birds.
I don't think
it might have glitter on it too,
because I don't think Eagles fans. I think that would be an automatic out. He would be outed pretty quickly with the go Birds.
But either way, though, is what I'm saying.
But no, Eagles fans are gonna sniff that out. They're gonna be like, "You're a Falcons fan trying to just slide through."
Oh, then you think he'd catch it from Eagles fans? And
yeah.
Can I tell y'all that Simone has though tried to convert me multiple times to be an Eagles fan, and I keep telling her no. It's not happening.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how much Falcon swag will you wear?
I plan on wearing a jersey and a hat.
Unless it's 10 out of 10, then you don't need to talk.
You should wear none in that stadium. I'm telling you.
Bad luck is what you're saying?
I'm going to tell you something. It might be more dangerous in sitting in a seat in Philadelphia's in Lincoln Financial Field with a Falcons jersey on than it would be if you were walking around with dollar bills hanging from a necklace in Brazil. I'll tell you that much.
You know what? I'd say he's much safer up there than he is in the studio with only the glass separating us after you rob me of my victory.
You might want to lock that door after the show.
You did a great job.
You heard her.
You did a great job.
No, when people are wrong, it makes me angry.
I just want the record to show that she's being a much sore loser this week than I was last week when I was robbed.
I actually won this one.
You did
I'm just about standing
amazing.
Up for what's right.
This is your best performance, but sometimes your best performance, you still lose.
No.
Your best wasn't good enough. My worst was still better than your best. How about that?
You know what? Okay, well, the Falcons put out their best against the Eagles, and the Eagles' defense on Monday.
Look,
also flipped to talk about the other side of the ball, too.
Yeah, I've been looking at the numbers. If you want to talk about offense and defense, first off, Kirk Cousins has got a lot of familiarity playing the division against the Eagles, but he's played them the last 2 years. And 22 was a very, very elite Eagles defense, and they took care of Kirk, and he threw 3 interceptions. But last year, the defense was good but more vulnerable, and he threw for 4 touchdowns against them. But what I was looking at was the fact that this Eagles defense in week 1, and if we're going to criticize the Falcons on what they were week 1, we need to talk about what the Eagles defense wasn't in week 1. And that was they gave up 29 points, but the alarming fact for me was, Mike, is this was a rush defense that gave up a ton of yards last season late in the year. And they turned around in the 24 opener and gave up 163 more yards, allowing almost 8 yards, 7.8 a clip. And to me, that is somewhere where the Falcons can look at and maybe attack.
Yeah, and this is – it's going to be an ongoing conversation, guys. And I'm gonna put my hand down right now. I'm turning the page right now. All right,
finally.
8:29 on Wednesday. I'm turning the page right now. Because here's the thing. There's no way it's going to look like it did last week. It's impossible, right? And the good thing is, I think you learned a lot, and we learned a little bit about Kirk's mobility. I think Zach Robinson learned a lot. But here's the simple fact. You start out, you come out in shotgun, you don't throw the ball, right? Maybe Kirk is not mobile, but there's other ways to get around that as well. And you picture college, you picture zone reads. We saw it with Desmond Ridder a number of times last year. But you can also kind of turn that into a triple option style, put a guy in the slot, right, that you can make quick throws out to after zone reads. So you can start with a shotgun formation, fake the handoff, throw the outs to, you know, the slot receiver and use that as your mobility. Use that as an extension of the run game. It doesn't have to be bootlegs and everything else. And then you get in a pistol. And you throw the ball, and you run play action, and you have Kirk hand around, fake a handoff, stick his foot in the ground, and rifle the ball down the middle. And so let's just start right there as part of the game plan. Yes, maybe Kirk is not mobile. Maybe he's not 100% healthy. I'm not asking you to move that far. Just simply pivot your feet, get your shoulders pointed in the right direction, and let it rip. And if you can't do that, then somebody else should be playing that spot for right now until he is fully capable, because you are just putting him further at risk of not moving him at all in the pocket and allowing them to tee off on him.
If you put somebody else in that spot right now, doesn't that put the Falcons in a predicament, in a spot the rest of the way?
Let's just talk about it the same way you would like Green Bay and Jordan Love, right? He has the injury. You're going to probably start Malik Willis this week. That's what it is to me. Malik Willis might go off. He's not going to take Jordan Love's spot, right? Jordan
it's not
Love
the
has
same
paid a
situation.
I have to agree with Tiffany on this one. It's not the same situation.
Why not?
You have a draft pick that came after you just paid that man, Kirk Cousins, all that money, and then the uproar from – and I know you say you don't listen. People say they don't listen to what's going on the outside.
Oh, I do.
But, you know, all that was playing out during the offseason over why would you draft Michael Penix?
Here's what I think is similar about it. You're paying Jordan Love a ton of money, and you're paying Kirk Cousins a ton of money. If they're both not fully healthy, then their backup right now is not making much money, right? And that's the thing. You can talk about invested draft capital all we want to. That's not going to keep, you know, some other guys locked into the starting lineup either. I mean, it just is what it is right now.
They're still not the same.
It's not. Tiffany's spot on. One of them is a third-round draft pick who you traded a seventh-round pick for who has failed already. The other is the eighth overall pick.
That came on the heels after you got Kirk Cousins.
I think we're just coming at it from two different angles.
Let me tell you this. If Kirk Cousins is not healthy enough to play, and you say, we're going to sit you on the sidelines for 3 or 4 weeks, and Michael Penix goes, say, 4 weeks, and Michael Penix goes 3-1 in those games, there is no way in hell that they're going back because this one, it's there's going to be – this city will burn to the ground.
I completely disagree.
Because they want to see a
winner. You're not
going to
pay a backup quarterback $45 million, guys.
Let me tell you something.
First
off, I would agree with you.
You're firing yourself.
I would agree with you 99 out of 100 times. But I sat here in this very seat in front of this very microphone with both of you in the very same spots you are and said, you don't go pay a quarterback $45 a year and draft a player who won't play for 3 years to sit there. You don't do it. Makes no sense. And that's exactly what they did. So I will tell you that I wish I could back you up on this because what was the date? Was it April 29th? If April 29th had not had happened or April 27th or whatever day it was, I would have been agreeing you. However, this team is in win-now mode. Matthew Judon is here to win now.
That's
Justin Simmons
saying.
Is here to win now. You go with the best chance. I've seen Tom Brady upseat Drew Bledsoe when Drew Bledsoe was paid top dollar at that point in time in the league. It was a lot less. You're
trying to win games.
But you're here to win, man. Just win, baby.
Agree
just
to disagree,
win.
Man.
No, agree you're wrong. Again.
If we can't agree to disagree.
Had the 2024 draft not happened, I would be fighting
you.
You're
not using your brain. I'm disappointed.
Oh, let me tell you something. Hold on a second. You watch your damn mouth. Yeah. I use my brain. No. I was logical the entire
you
time talking about this whole
out of my
thing.
Face right now.
Let me tell you something. I will say something bad about an offensive lineman if you keep this up.
I think you were a typical Twitter person that you don't like. You weren't thinking.
We had this conversation. The offensive line done their job.
Look, I told you about the giveaway. Now is the time to call in to try to win a pair of tickets to Atlanta United's home match against Montreal on Wednesday, October 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 7:30. Call us now, 404-726-0929. Caller number 9 wins. You can also get tickets on sale at atlutd.com. When we come back, we've got some steak tips. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's if Bo's still alive after this.
More than just sports talk, this is The Morning Shift.
I'm in. Me too.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Area McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
But I think that'll change for C.J. Abrams.
Arcia gets into this to right center field.
Go.
That ball is still going. And it's gone into the front row. Orlando Arcia later. Solo Jack, it's 8-0.
Brandon Godden of the call of a Braves 12-2 win against the Nationals after they bounced back from being shut out against the Reds in what was just a two-hit affair for them. So quite the different story.
Yeah, and Matt Holtson, if you want to buy into his stock right now, he stays hot. He was one of the guys that – he's the only guy that got the two hits on the aforementioned Reds game that you talked about, Tiffany. He got three more hits last night and a couple RBIs. And, you know, Marcell Ozuna, I think he was on base every time last night. And he had a walk. I think he got hit by a pitch, had a hit. So that part of the lineup stays hot. And Michael Harris, giddy up.
I'm going to give you credit and then ask you a question. You know the Braves starting pitchers like very few people do. Max Fried goes tonight. Ronaldo Lopez exited last night. You have not announced your probables for this wraparound weekend with the Dodgers coming up. Any projections from you as far as what you want to see this weekend from starting pitchers?
With the Dodgers, you said?
Yeah.
Well, I think you'll see Schwellenbach probably start the series.
Okay.
And then Chris Sell. And then you would see Morton on Saturday, and then the Sunday one. I'm curious where you go. I don't know if Ian Anderson is on that 40-man roster.
Or Grant Holmes.
Well, the problem is you've been using him for just like an inning or two, so yeah. I don't know.
Hey, I just want to announce the winner of the Atlanta United ticket giveaway. It is Matt from McDonough, so congrats on winning that pair of tickets to Atlanta United's home match against Montreal on Wednesday, October 2nd, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 7:30. You can also get your tickets on sale now at atlutd.com. It is time for some steak tips.
The godfather of Atlanta sports radio has now stepped in the building.
I come to me to say, give me justice, but you don't ask for respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me godfather.
It's Wednesday on the morning shift.
It's Wednesday.
And Wednesdays are reserved for steak tips.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think that the Godfather cut in there is maybe inappropriate. We should get like Tony Soprano screaming at somebody for you. Have you watched the Sopranos special that the HBO Max just did, or HBO just
it's did already out?
The Chase. Yeah, they have. It's two episodes that basically document the TV show. David Chase is being interviewed.
I'm a Sopranos freak.
Yeah.
So whether it's the podcast, whether it's listening back to the director's cut, any of it. So, yeah, I'm happy to do it.
What's up? Give me two squats of me.
I'm a skinnier Tony Soprano, right? I'm a skinnier version.
You've definitely changed some body
body composition.
Yes, since I first met you.
I changed some body composition. I've changed in the last couple of years.
Since I first met you,
I see old episodes of Atlanta Eats. It's like, wow, you were eating your feelings those years.
You definitely ate the product you tested.
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't taking little bites. I was eating every dish that came out, I was finishing.
You weren't sampling.
No, they asked me. I go, yeah, I take bites. I don't eat the whole dish. Yeah. Anyway, talking about 9/11 on Steak Tips today, it is funny with all the vitriol, and it's not just Tyreek Hill. It's any athlete, and you get on social, and people want to talk about pampered athletes, and they're so frustrated and perspective. And there's some, you know, listen, you can't necessarily blame a group that's never been had the choices of athletes that came before them. And I'm talking about really 40s, 50s, 60s when folks were enlisting. But, you know, on 9/11, you should think about Pat Tillman, because Pat Tillman was playing in the National Football League, and Pat Tillman was at the highest level of his game. And before there was Pat Tillman, there was Bob Feller, who was one of the great pitchers in baseball, who after Pearl Harbor was the first major league player to enlist 2 days after in the Navy. Middle of his career, similar to Pat Tillman some 50 years later, who saw something in 9/11 and said, there is a greater cause for me than playing in the NFL. And we all know how that turned out. But there is a long litany of professional athletes that have served our nation, and in many cases, in the middle of their career.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind, and mainly my dad always mentioned it, was Ted Williams. Because I think he missed not one, but I think he served twice during his career, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he fought 39 combat missions while he was the best hitter in baseball in the Korean War. And then came back after 2 years and had eight more years. So many of the best records in baseball he would have shattered with a couple more years in baseball.
Yeah, I always think of, first of all, Chuck Bednarik, who was like a six-time first-team All-Pro and was, you know, a big part of the military. And then right now, Alejandro Villanueva, who's most recently been a left tackle for Pittsburgh. I mean, he went to Army and was a wide receiver and now came back after his tour and started playing in the NFL.
David Robinson did
the Admiral
two full years. I mean, he was the best player in basketball. You know, Navy was on the map because of him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dispensations you can have, especially when you get to that level. He did two full years. But imagine waiting for, like, who are we talking about on San Antonio? I'm not an NBA season right now. Wembanyama. Imagine waiting 2 years for him because he's serving our country. Ted Williams, a great example. Yogi Berra stormed the beaches of Normandy. A lot of folks don't realize that.
Wow, I did not know that. In World War II.
Yeah. Jackie Robinson served. He was discharged because he refused to send the back of a bus back of a military vehicle that he was told to do, and they later, you know, went back on that. But folks forget that it was Admiral Jackie Robinson who served in the Army.
Wow.
Roberto Clemente served as well. Willie Mays, 2 years serving as well in the middle of his career in the Korean War. So
Chad Hennings, who played for the Cowboys defensive line on one of those Super Bowl teams, was another guy. I think he was in the Air Force for a few years.
I was going to say, I can't talk about David Robinson without thinking about Roger Staubach, right? I mean, that's another Academy guy that's definitely
And he was the biggest star in football and could have passed on military service, again, gotten dispensation.
Yeah.
He chose not to. So, listen, this is not a statement about current athletes. I think all of us are lucky enough that we're not in an era where we've been asked to go serve or really given the opportunity necessarily. But it is fascinating to think about major league players in the prime of their career choosing to step aside and go serve in the military, and in many cases affect their their career numbers and everything else. So there was a greater good. Pat Tillman, the most recent example, because there haven't been that many, really, that we've had to deal with.
Yeah, I've gotten to cover, I've got to go to the Navy up in Annapolis and then also get into cover Air Force game last year. Yeah. Just seeing the regimen that a lot of these
team athletes
have.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so beyond when any other Division I athlete,
yes,
all due respect to Texas, Alabama, and Georgia, that they have to do the full job of the cadets or the midshipmen, whatever it is, and play football. One of the great sports books ever written, John Feinstein's The Army-Navy Game, follows Army and Navy for the entire year leading up to the game. You want to know what their lives are like? I think CBS Showtime did a year with both of them, or certainly.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll talk about that at 9/11. Chipper Jones will join us at 10 a.m. He was in New York after 9/11. We'll have him. Sandy's in the house as well. So lots to get to coming up in the Steakhouse.
Boom. Awesome.
This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. That's going to do it for us here on The Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.